My life was unrecognizable after a certain amount of time, and I did not know how to pull myself out of it. And I put together a course for myself and put a plan in place, right? So I had the goal of improving my year in these categories, and then I put a plan together.
Hey, yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. Hello, everyone. I'm so excited to welcome our next guest to this podcast. This is Abby, Coach Abby. She is amazing. She has been such a support to me over the past couple months as we have been in the same group. And I am even more excited to introduce you for her specialties in coaching. Today, we're going to be talking about setting goals with ADHD. As we all understand, goals can sometimes be a trigger word for us with ADHD for a multitude of reasons. And today, Abby is going to help bring all that anxiety down, help clarify what this looks like, especially with the new year right around the corner for us. Abby, thank you so much for being here. And you're please so introduce welcome. A little bit of yourself.
Absolutely. Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm Abby Schiller. I am a transformation coach. So I help women mostly decide what they want for their life and then how to achieve that. And that's a process. We do a 3-month transformation, and I love it because I get to help women earn more money or start new careers or new chapters or love parenting more or find less overwhelm. And I find actually most of my clients have neurodiversity, if not flat out ADHD diagnoses.
We are superheroes. Isn't it amazing how we attract each other too? I think that that's pretty awesome because you have ADHD yourself. Yeah.
Yes, I do. And I was diagnosed late in life at age 49.
Excellent. You are in good company. Unfortunately and fortunately, there's a lot of people that understand our late diagnosis stories. So my question for you is, if you are helping women in this capacity, mostly women in this capacity, what is it about goal setting that makes you like fired up? What is it that, why goal setting? Why talk about this?
So I actually think goal setting, and a lot of people have lots of thoughts about the term goals. I mean, this is really the time of year when people, there's a whole bunch of what I consider misguided people get on the internet and they're like, how could I possibly set goals? Like, I'm just trying to get through the day, or, you know, why would I try to create a resolution when every year they've failed, or, you know, they don't set goals, set habits. Like, fine, you know, I get that you want people to click on your thing. This is the most misguided thing. Goals, in my opinion, are the most basic form of self-care. What is the point of us being here? It is so that we can live to our highest potential. We would never get on a plane and not name the destination we wanted to go to and just fly around for a while and then just kind of land somewhere and be like, oh, I guess this is where the universe put me. That doesn't make any sense. Goals are the legit destination that you are deciding ahead of time that you want to achieve. And then the magic is in working towards achieving that. That is the process of bettering yourself. That is the growth and the moments in which you see what you're made out of. And if you have had, and I get this because I was this for so long, if you think of yourself, if you have a self-perception that you just can't do it or you have enough on your plate, then the goal should be to change what's on your plate.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can become better versions of ourselves by imagining them, setting that as an intention or a goal, and then achieving that.
Beautiful. So what you just painted this beautiful picture of like almost an expectation. I don't know how you feel about the words realistic expectations, because sometimes we want to grow big, right? It can be like, we were just talking about a goal that you had that was really huge. And maybe we'll touch on that in a little bit here. However, the endless to-do lists, right? Yeah. And the goals that we have that just don't ever seem to end, What would you say to an ADHDer that just feels like so burdened by these endless to-do lists? Because no matter where they look, they're insufficient. They're not meeting the expectations of.
And that is kind of the horribleness of a to-do list. It is gives you a sense of organization and also of never finishing or accomplishing. And so I don't love just to-do lists. What I teach in my, and I'm launching a course called Visioning, which helps really transform people's lives in 3 months, is to put everything down on a list so that you're organized and then schedule it so that you know when it's going to get done. Now, ADHD people, I heard every single one of you been like, good luck, lady. Good luck. But I have ADHD, and not everything that works for me will work for you, but we have to find ways to hold ourselves accountable to the things that we want to achieve. And we cannot continue to use ADHD as a soul crutch. Lots of people who have ADHD do epic things. So what do you want? It's not just about what you want to do. In the visioning course, we talk about who do you want to be? Do you want to be somebody who's accountable to yourself? Do you want to be someone who doesn't put yourself perpetually behind the eight ball and never gets everything achieved? Like, let's figure out how to prioritize, and let's figure out how to program fun in our week.
Yeah.
And how to be present for our children and for our lives, so that we're not just doing, but we are also being. And I help people design the lives that they want. And that is not just a bunch of accomplishments.
Love
that
it.
Is a state and a presence and a feeling. I mean, we choose what feelings we want more often in our life.
Yes.
How do we want to spend our time? Yeah. Right.
Yeah, with me? Absolutely. Yeah. I'm feeling this. You guys can't see me because we're doing a podcast, but my dimples are in full force, people. My smile is big because of the truth that you're speaking to right now. I, as a full-fledged ADHDer, have learned that I get to accomplish whatever I want. I get to not accomplish whatever I want or don't want, right? And it all comes back to the value system, the belief system, like you said, what feelings I want to be most present, where I want my time to be spent.
Yes.
If my goal is not the same as a counterpart that's in the same industry as me, that has nothing to do with me. Their financial goal, their family goal, their relationship goal, whatever it is, they can have those and honor that. And that's great. Like, I can hear it and be present, but we're going to have different ideas of what we want for our future. So those values, those getting really clear on that in my life has been really helpful. And it sounds like that's something that you help your clientele with.
Yes. And in the course, I help people, first of all, design goals that they'll actually want to achieve. I think the reason why 93% of people who set goals desert them within a month is because, first of all, we set goals that we think we're supposed to set. They're not coming from our heart. They're coming from society's expectations.
Are some of those? I'm going to interject. What are some of those that you feel like we naturally, or maybe we don't even know?
So
society,
every single person thinks that they want to get healthier or exercise more in January. Like, that is,
okay.
I don't even have the percentage on. I feel like it's 112%.
I think precisely. Yeah.
Here's how you can do that goal more meaningfully. So for instance, my version of that was to move more joyously, joyously, right?
I love both. We'll go with it.
Move more joyfully. Another goal was to find fun exercise,
cool.
to try pickleball, like there's so many
fun,
but when you think exercise more, does that feel at all joyful? Not really.
No, mine's get outside.
Get outside is so good. Yes. Hike with friends.
Mm-hmm.
You can combine goals. Like, so there's a lot of research on what a good life is. And most people don't know this. The work comes from Jonathan Fields, who also has a podcast on the Good Life Project. And there's three buckets that we need to fill in order to have a good life. And I actually really encourage people to set goals based on how to have a good life.
Hey, ADHDer, if you are enjoying this episode, please be sure to press the plus button on Apple Podcasts or follow this podcast on whatever other platform you're using. Your reviews are so appreciated. It helps more people get to hear this podcast and therefore impact these incredible ADHD lives in a positive way. Thanks for being here. Back to the show.
Can I go through them? Are you cool with that?
Please, yes. Okay. I'm right here.
So the first bucket is vitality. And the vitality bucket is really the me bucket. How are you as a human? How is your mental, physical, emotional, spiritual health? How is your sense of presence, your sense of wonder, your sense of possibility, right? That's the vitality bucket. Then there's the connection bucket, which is the how we connect meaningfully to other people. How connected are you to your family, however you define that, your friends, your community, your work, coworkers? How connected are you to yourself? How connected are you to something outside of yourself larger, whether that's God or the universe or ancestors or however you want to think of that? That's the connection bucket. And the third bucket is your contribution bucket. So how do you contribute something of yourself that will outlast you? And we do that sometimes through parenting. We do that through work. We do that through volunteer or service, right? But you can actually be a contributor in how you show up as a human with your values, you know, whether you are gracious to people, or are you, you know, mentoring people? Are you
it's the ripple effect type of idea?
Yeah.
Right?
How much do you tip? Like that's that all goes into the contribution bucket. And so the rules of the buckets is that they slow drain and we constantly have to replenish them. And occasionally in life they rapidly drain. Like if we get COVID or diagnosed with an illness, that the vitality bucket will rapidly drain. If we get fired from our work, you know, the contribution bucket may slowly or rapidly drain. But the idea is to have a plan going forward of how do you want to fill these buckets? And so what I like to do in the visioning course is take inventory of where are you currently in each of those categories and where would you like to be? And then it's a question of how do you want to achieve that? What values do you want to live? And how can you use that to achieve those goals? So it's just a reworking of how we think about goal setting and achieving. It's about creating the person, becoming the person that you want to become.
Okay. And how visual is that? I also really love that as a creative mind, how it's not just a 1 through 20 list. This is something visual. I just love that you painted that for us. That in and of itself makes it more exciting for me, you know? And so I think how perfect is this for the ADHD brain to envision these different aspects of our life where we do slowly drain, like you're saying, most of the time, and that we have the opportunity to replenish. That's awesome. Do you have any insight? I'm just thinking like as we're on the visual, right? Of us keeping these in mind. I feel like sometimes I have goals and I'll get off like an amazing call with the coach or with a mentor. And I'm like, yeah. And then the week comes around when I'm ready to do the check-in. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, I was so excited about that. What happened to that goal? But like the forgetting of, yeah, that was something I really, really wanted. I still really want it. Literally forgot. Didn't make it to my long-term memory.
So we create goal roadmaps and in those categories. I actually do it in 5 categories. So I do me, relationships, family. Those are 2 categories. Relationships/friendships, family, home, like my physical space. Mm-hmm. And then I always ask for people to achieve a bucket list or to write down a bucket list of like what they want pie in the sky.
Fun.
And when you have a moment like that, you can add it to the goal roadmap of, ooh, I want to do more of that. And just add it into one of those categories. Okay. And then every month we do accountability calls where you look at what your goals are for the 6 months. And then which one do you want to start with this month? Which ones do you want to achieve this month? And sometimes it's like, I want to organize the front hall closet. Check. That's a one-time goal. What do I need to do that? We back up into those goals. Like, what do I need to do to do that? I need to schedule time. What else do I need? I need to have 3 bags, one for donation, one for recycling and one for keeping, right? Like you have to really, so with ADHD brains, it's so brilliant because we break these things down into these tiny little pieces. And everybody has different goals, but we go with a process works for everyone.
Yeah.
For whatever the goal is.
I the two words that come up in my mind are flexible structure. Like you are creating a structure where it's not so rigid that I have to do this thing in this particular way. And this is a must. It's let's set up a structure that is consistent and very accessible and very common verbiage with this group that I'm in or with my accountability partner or even with myself over time, right? And I can be flexible. And I keep thinking of the buckets, that I can be flexible in all your five buckets or his three buckets. There's flexibility. And then also going back to your original goal of like joyful movement. This isn't, I have to run 2 miles. It's if it's not a 2 mile day, I have flexibility in the joyful movement.
Yes.
Yeah.
It could be structure. 2 songs in the kitchen with the kids dancing yeah. around. And yes. So we set kind goals instead of bossy goals. That's another kind of differentiation with my course in that, for instance, there's a whole bro culture about morning routines, right? My brain will never stick to a morning routine. But what is important for me is that I set myself up for some form of success in the morning. So that means I have to get dressed. I prefer to have some kind of movement to get my brain working in the morning, and I need to eat something. Those are kind of like the three non-negotiables for me as a quote unquote morning routine.
Yeah.
If I have time to meditate, if I feel compelled to write in a journal, all the other things, great. Then that happens to be the case. And I will, as long as I do my three things, getting dressed, eating, and moving, and it could be for 10 minutes, it could be for 30 minutes. Today, I took a beautiful walk with my dog for an hour.
Yeah.
Like whatever, but like either way, I'm achieving my goal, right? So a kind goal, I think works much better with an ADHD brain because first of all, you're setting ranges around it. I don't have to even do that every month. Some days I may just put a top on and be in my pajamas for Zoom calls for, you know, the first 2 morning calls, whatever.
Love those stretchy pants.
Yes. So, but you want to do a range. So I want to do something between 2 and 5 times. I want to move joyfully between 2 and 5 times a week.
Yeah.
So if I do 2, I've nailed it. If I do 5, I've really nailed it. Either way, I feel great about myself.
It's perfect. We call it beaches and mountain peaks on this podcast. So that's absolutely perfect. I love it.
Range goals. And then the other thing is you just don't want to be a jerk to yourself. Like sometimes with neurodiverse brains, we think we can, you know, do the structure that other more typical brains can do. And we set ourselves up for just feeling badly. And so The way I have worked around that for goal setting is to create range, to be flexible with myself, as I had the examples that I'd mentioned, to allow myself the knowledge that if this isn't the right time, it's not that I'm abandoning the goal. I can revisit it in the second or third quarter. Right? Like just
that's money.
So much love for yourself. Like you want to root for your own success. So there you have it. I mean, those are some of the many things that I help people with.
Oh, it's so good. I especially love this idea of in my verbiage, I say you're the boss applesauce. If you made it, you can change it.
Totally. Right.
So if you make the goal, you can change it. You can change the goal. And that might be completely changing it. That might be shifting it. That might be the time. But I've never really thought about integrating that into like almost an intention or a way that as I'm setting my goals, I remind myself of that. And, you know, like, of course, my brain's going to, oh, well, what's the difference between copping out and just saying, oh, it's a cop out and like intentionally saying, no, we're going to shift that goal.
Yeah. Okay. So let's explore that for a second. The question is how much action, first of all, the winning formula is mindset plus action equals results. That's the winning formula. So when you think positively about something, and do you work with the model here on this podcast?
Yeah, we can go into it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So when you have like a positive thought about something, creating an emotion of determination or curiosity or confidence or, you know, something more powerful, and then you take action based on that, even if that particular action isn't the thing that gets the achievement of the goal, you've taken steps towards achieving that goal. You've learned what isn't working. You can tweak it and iterate and keep taking action, right?
Yeah.
So the question that you just had is, when do you know when to like kind of abandon goal or give up? And I always like to just touch base with what is the why of why you want this goal. So just being true to like, why is this goal important to me? Why do I want to earn more money? Why do I want to, you know, move more joyfully? Why do I want to connect more meaningfully with my children? Why? Who are you? Who are you that you want that? Like, who do you want to be? And then you just have to kind of take different, you have to look at your thoughts. What is the thought about it? What is the action? And you have to also look at what else is demanding your attention, which is kind of the circumstance. So earlier this year, we had, my father-in-law was very, very ill. And I had this goal of a certain health goal. And I decided that, in fact, even though I had full intention on achieving that health goal, I actually chose not to do that in that time frame. And the only thing that holds us back from achieving goals is the time part, because we can always bump it down the road if we need to. It just wasn't the right time for me to put all of my attention into that goal with the circumstance of a sick family member.
Yeah.
So we have to just have that kind of dialogue ongoing with ourselves to see, to make sure that we're not avoiding or distracting from a goal. And you know, we always want to have integrity with ourselves. We want to be honest about things. So I like to ask people why they would quit a goal before they start it. Like, what are the reasons that you would stop this goal? What are the good reasons for you to stop this goal ahead?
Before they've even set it.
Before they've
even. As they're setting it. Okay.
You define what end of the goal looks like, which is also very rare. You define what the end of the goal looks like. Like, when do you get to check the box and cross it off the list? What does end look like? And what would cause you to quit that you would feel comfortable with before that? Like, what are you okay with quitting over?
So good. In executive function coaching, they usually say, you know, like, what might get in the way of you achieving this? But the shift that you're asking is, when would you almost like give yourself permission ahead of time, your future self ahead of time, so that, and this totally aligns with decision overwhelm and decision fatigue as well, because when we're in those highly activated arenas of our life, when a family member is sick or we're not doing well ourselves, making decisions is so difficult for all people, especially for ADHD brains. It allows us ourselves to have permission to have a road to happiness, like a road to less anxiety and stress, by asking that. That is so cool. It sounds phenomenal.
To your point, though, it is really great to identify the obstacles ahead of time. So you have to always have kind of a plan B. Just like, you know, if you wanted to have that morning workout, what is your plan B if the morning, you know, goes bananas and you just can't do it? What is your plan B? And my plan B is to jump on a Peloton for 10 minutes, or to dance in the kitchen with my kids, or to walk the dog extra long, right? So like, you have people who stay on the course of their goals have plan Bs, and they anticipate the obstacles that they're going to hit on the road there. Most often the obstacles are in our own brains.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are. Yeah. Especially when we start to identify the thoughts, right?
Yeah.
Or the narratives or the models that we've had our whole life.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, my core belief is that everything is solvable.
Mm.
And so it's just a question of thinking like, what is the point? What is the goal here? And all the ways I can solve for that.
Okay. So perfect thing. And maybe this is a great way to end, but let's talk about that impossible dream, that bucket list, and the unsolvable. Can you please tell us about something that you just kind of mentioned to me that I think is a great way to like, hoorah.
Totally. So this. I just want to give kind of a quick background on why I created the visioning course, which will lead us to that goal, because that goal actually is why the course exists.
Okay,
so, in 2014, I had just a gut punch of a year, and a family member had died, and it sent kind of a bunch of spiraling circumstances at my way. And I literally had a period of maybe 3 months where I was like, this can't get worse. And then it would actually get worse. You know, like just complete what is happening in my life. Like my life was unrecognizable after a certain amount of time, and I did not know how to pull myself out of it. And so this is actually why I'm a coach. I started studying human potential and change behavior and habits and coaching and therapy and all. I studied all the things, and I put together a course for myself of brainstorms and exercises and, you know, lists that I had to make and meditations and all the things.
Wow.
And I did it. I went with a friend away for 24 hours. I removed myself from my environment and did this thing and put a plan in place, right? So I had the goal of improving my year in these categories. And then I put a plan together, which is the second step. And then I started taking action on the plan. So I started doing the steps. And within 3 months of that year, 2015, then my life had fully transformed. And I was so inspired by what was possible and so in awe of how much power we have over our whole lives, when I had felt 3 months before so completely powerless to what was being thrown at me, that I just kept going with it. And finally, people started asking me to teach them how to do this. And that's how the visioning course happened. But one of the biggest impetus for that was when I won an Emmy. So I put on my list 1 year just to test it, just to test these tools that I teach. This year, I'm going to win an Emmy, which is like a ridiculous, obnoxious goal. So I wrote it on my list. And sometimes it's fun to have those like laughable, embarrassing goals. Like I want to earn $1 million. Yes, want that. And then let's figure out the how. So I had to figure out the how of how to win an Emmy. It turns out, first of all, I had a children's show. I run the mother company. We had created a show called Ruby Studio, which is to help children with social and emotional learning. It still airs on Amazon Prime. So we had a show, and I knew that I wasn't going to qualify for the daytime Emmys or the primetime Emmys. But the show originated, the network that aired our show was in Pittsburgh, the same network that aired Mr. Rogers, and they distributed our show to other PBS stations across the country. And so I learned that there was something called the there were regional Emmys, and that we could qualify for the Mid-Atlantic Regional Emmys. And as you can imagine, the children's category of a regional Emmy is quite small. So we were up against like four Genius. Or five other people. And of course we won, not of course, but we won, which Yay! Was like an amazing thing. So I figured out that year huge. How to win an Emmy. So again, mindset plus action equals results.
Love it. It's just the perfect bada bing, bada boom to this and evidence of it. Well, Abby, this has been so amazing, inspiring, and not inspiring in a like, oh crap, what am I going to do after I get off this call type of thing. Inspiring in a, hey, I've got this. I've got a plan. I've got a little bit of structure, and I think I can actually get this thing done. And yes. As an ADHDer, that is the best feeling to listen to and to participate in a system like that. So where can people find you, Abby? What's the best way for them to get a hold of you? We'll go ahead and put that in the show notes too.
I'm a fun follow on Instagram, which is Abby Schiller, ABBIESCHILLER coaching. I also offer a free texting platform for people, which is really fun to get inspirational and motivational texts from me every week. And all you need to do is call 310-564-7266.
Call or text?
I'm sorry. All you need to do is text 310-564-7265 and just text the word hello, and then you will get automatic free coaching tips and tools and inspirational moments from me once a week.
Bravo. I love it. Well, thanks again for being here.
Thanks so much, Camden.
Thanks for listening to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. So glad that you're here. If you are interested in more information about ADHD coaching, head over to Instagram and follow me at Camden_ADHD. My company is called ADHD Directory. Or if you're also interested in following along with more Latter-day Saint ADHD material, you can follow me at The Busy Brain Saint on Instagram. Thanks so much for being here, and I hope I get to meet you soon. Take care.